and welcome to the very first edition of my podcast, Ramblings of a Hairstylist. My name's Aoife Kennedy, aka The Hair Fairy, and I'm here today just to tell you all about my brand and how I built my business. I hope you enjoy. This is my very first episode, and yeah, let's get into it. So throwback to the recessionary years, and I am 26 at the time, and I'm living out in Donnymead with my husband Jody, and we were very happy, very content. He was actually in the army at the time, and I was working for my mom, who owned a very successful salon for 30 years, and I could tell that the business was slowing down considerably. And obviously this had started to worry me, and basically I was kind of the one that was keeping it going. I had quite a lot of clientele, and I had noticed a lot of the other girls hadn't got as much clients as me, and I basically was keeping the salon going, and month by month we had to keep letting people go, and it was a really, really tough time. And I guess as well, hair was one of the first things that went in the recessionary years. People just sort of axed it out of their life as a non-need. They would only go if they needed to go. So yeah, the hair industry really suffered. And due to that, my mother decided to close down her lovely salon that she had owned for such a long time, like 30 years. And the salon was amazing because it was in such a local community and it was a part of that community. So it was a really difficult time. And so she closed down the salon, and actually she emigrated for a while. And basically then I decided I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I had this huge mortgage and mega stress and overwhelm. I didn't know what to do, and I decided to just keep going. I texted all the clients and said, listen, I'm going to be mobile for a little while until I figure out what I'm going to do. So I went mobile, and I lost some clients because that obviously didn't suit them, and that was totally okay because I understood. But after being mobile for a little while, I realized that, you know, it was quite difficult traveling around and trying to do color at home. And oh, it was just a bit of a disaster. So I set up a room. We had a 3-bedroom house, so I set up a spare room. I enrolled myself on a back to work scheme, and I decided to go and learn about business. And also at the time I was dealing with some pretty heavy shit, like, you know, that salon had actually been part of my life for as long as I could remember. You know, my mum had emigrated, the family was split in half, kind of, and my brother actually also lived away as well, so we had been such a close family, and it was really tough to have us all divided. And, you know, the family home was sold. Like, I had so much going on all at the one time. And I went and enrolled myself anyway in this FOSS back to work scheme thing. So I went and I did the course, and I learned lots about business. And the lady that was actually teaching it, I'm going to call her Sarah. Sarah just understood me from the moment I sat in the room. And she asked me about my business, and I was actually the youngest person on that course, and everybody else was in their 40s, 50s, and I was there 26, a shivering little mess, I suppose. At the time, I was just not in a good place really, but yeah, I was pushing through because it was the only thing I knew how to do. So she understood exactly what I wanted. You know, I sat down with her and explained the type of business that I wanted to create. You know, I wanted to create this amazing place for women to just come and be themselves and, you know, have it on a one-to-one basis and make them feel safe and secure and be able to tell me exactly what they want and what their needs are and be able to help them as much as possible. because I realized that from being a mobile hairstylist, when I was dealing with clients on a one-to-one basis, I was really figuring out that this was a much different experience than being in a salon environment. A woman is so much more comfortable when it's just a one-to-one situation, and they can be a little bit more open and a little bit more vulnerable. And, you know, I just really enjoyed doing hair in that way, and I felt I was able to deliver a lot more value to the client. So she thought, oh my God, yeah, this is a perfect idea. I think you're totally right. So we went ahead. She helped me build a 5-year business plan, which I did, and I completed the course, and I handed in that. It was like that was actually how you completed the course, was to do that. So fast forward then another year, I stayed still working from home. At the time, I was actually in therapy, and I was figuring out a lot of stuff. And basically, I worked through a lot of stuff, and I realized that, you know, I'd suffered with anxiety, you know, quite a lot of my life. And I guess I was always quite sheltered in a way. You know, I worked for my mom, and I had worked in other salons, but I kind of couldn't really roll at that high stress environment. And I sort of sheltered myself from that. And I decided that, you know, working from home was great, but it really wasn't helping the situation of my anxiety and stuff like that. It was definitely isolating me a lot more. I wasn't leaving the house. I was working in my home, and I found it very difficult to separate myself from my home life. My work life and my home life then kind of became intermingled, and Jody would come home and he'd be like, oh, I'm going to stick on a fillet of fish. And I was like, no, you can't. Like, I have a client coming in an hour, like, and they don't want their hair to smell like that. So it was starting to affect our lives. And I decided, you know what? I have enough clients. I've built it up enough. And I had actually achieved every goal on the 5-year plan in one. So I decided, okay, it's time to start looking for a premises. So that's what I did. And I began my search for my studio, and I started to look in kind of local areas. I was looking in Clontarf and all of these places. And then one day, Jody actually and myself, we actually just had this conversation, and I remember it so well. He said to me, why are you looking only there? Why don't you look in town? And Jody and I spent so much time in town. Like, when we weren't working, we were always just floating around town, and we definitely loved town so much. And, you know, he said to me, this was such a pivotal moment in my life. He said to me, if there was no limits on anything, money or whatever, tell me exactly what you would do, and like, tell me about it. And I was like, well, I was like, you know what, like, if I had to choose a place, like, and it was the place of my dreams, I was like, it would be right beside Grafton Street. I was like, I envision a Georgian room. I see a fireplace. I really want like high ceilings, really bright room, a great view. I see, I was like, I don't want to have easy access to my suite, because I want it to be really private. I don't want like randomers just walking in off the street. And so anyway, I described this whole situation of this dream suite. And a couple of weeks later, I was looking online, and here I see a place on Wicklow Street. And I decided, do you know what? Fuck it, I'm going to go and look at this. And I went in that morning and I had a look. And I'll never forget it. I remember when I walked in the front door downstairs, and I walked up the kind of bockety stairs, because it's actually a listed building that I'm currently in, which is the room I'm describing. When I walked into the building, I just got this amazing feeling. And I was like, before I even seen the room, I was like, this is it. I just knew it was the strangest thing ever. And then I went in to the room and it had a fireplace. It had high ceilings. It had a great view. And it had everything. And I was literally so excited. Apart from it was a shambles, like the carpet was in bits. It needed doing up. And also, then when I was having the discussion with my landlord, who is my landlord now, I basically was saying to him, you know, he was like, well, what are you looking for the space for? And I said, oh, I'm a hairstylist and whatever. And he said to me, oh, is it just styling? And I said, no, I need water. And he was like, oh, no, this is not going to work for me. I just don't think so. This is a listed building, like you can't be, you know, looking for pipes and wrecking the place. So he was like, listen, he was like, Aoife, you're a lovely girl, but like, it's not going to work. And I was devastated. I remember leaving and I was like, fuck, like that's the place. I just knew in my bones that that was it. So I go home, I'm mega disappointed. I tell Jody about it. And I sat on it for about 2 days. And just going over it in my head and knowing that this was the right place for me. And I was like, I can't let this go. Like, I'm going to have to try harder. And I'd really decided that working from home was not good for me. And like, realistically, was this what I was going to do for the rest of my life, was work from my spare bedroom? And I just didn't want that for myself anymore. I just wanted to be out and about, and I just wanted to push myself even more. And I knew that if I had to go to town every day and I had to face everything every day, that it would be good for me. Even though I was kind of struggling in a way, which sounds crazy, but I guess I'd always learned how to struggle along with anxiety, which I'll cover in another podcast. It will take too much time. So anyway, I decided, do you know what? Fuck this, go hard or go home. So I decided to ring the landlord and I said to him, hey, this is Aoife. I seen the premises yesterday, you know. And he said to me, oh yeah, hair girl. I said, yeah, it's me. And he said to me, listen, he said, I've told you already, like, it's just not going to work for me. And I was like, oh my God, please. I was like, please give me a chance. I was like, is there any way I could have a plumber come in and have a look if it could be done? If we could actually access a pipe to bring water to the room. And he was like, oh, he was like, listen, you're lovely, but I just don't think that it's going to work. And I was like, please just give me a chance. Like, I was like, I have to know that I tried everything, because I was like, I just really feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. And I'm sure he was like, what the fuck is this one on? But I was pretty adamant. And he said to me, do you know what? He said, do you know what? I'm going to give you a chance, he said. And he said, do you know the only reason I'm giving you a chance? He said, my wife's name is Aoife. And he said, that's a good omen to me. So he said, send in who you like. I'll have a chat with them and see, can it be done? So I send in a plumber who's a good friend of mine, and he basically tells them sun, moon and stars, yeah, it can be done, and be done the way he wanted it to. So the guy rings me back, my landlord, who we'll call John. And John said to me, yeah, Larry said all of that can be done. And Larry, who is my plumber, who I'm eternally grateful for, because without him, sweet talking him, I don't think I would be there. And but I just knew when I walked in. And actually, funnily enough, that room was a Reiki room, and it has this lovely, lovely energy to it. It's like super calm, and like it just had this presence about it that I know people might say that sounds insane, but it just did. And anyone that comes to it now is always like, oh, it's so calm in here, it's so peaceful. And that was something that really struck me about it, was even though you're in the heart of town, I'm up above all of that and you can't hear a sound up there. If I turn off everything, like, it's so quiet, and I'm so grateful for that place. It's just been amazing. And I remember being so terrified then when he rang me back and said, yeah, look, I'm going to offer it to you. And I was like, oh, fuck, now I'm going to actually have to do it. And I remember having that moment of like, oh, Jesus Christ, how am I going to make this work? And, you know, I was starting this business with a pretty, you know, an okay amount of clients, but I would need a lot more. And thank God it has worked out amazingly. And but yeah, that's kind of the story of how I actually got there. It was unbelievable to think that it really is true that seeing something in your head and believing in what you want to achieve or what you want to do, and not listening to anybody else, just staying focused and keeping yourself on track. It really is amazing what you can do and what you can achieve when you set your mind to it. Yeah, so it's such a great space, and I'm so happy I'm there 4 years now. And I remember as well, like, I did my training on Grafton Street, and, you know, my mam's salon was actually in East Wall, and that's my roots, like, that's where I came from. And I remember my mam was so proud when she sent me to Grafton Street to get my training, and she always used to say to me, you know, give me a Grafton Street blow dry. And, you know, so I was so full of pride when I got the keys to there, and I still am. You know, every day I close the door to that studio, and I just think of how grateful I am to have it in my life. And it's proven a lot to me, personally and professionally. And yeah, you know, it's just amazing. And I'm going to leave it there for this episode. And if anyone wants to get in touch with me, or just wants to leave me a comment or whatever, I'm my Instagram handle is at Hair Fairy Dublin. I would love you to connect with me over there, or my email is hairfairydublin@gmail.com. And yeah, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that I've not rambled on too much, and I cannot wait for my next one. And I'm just going to get into loads of different topics on here, and I'm not going to stick to just hair, but I'm a big soul seeker, big spiritual person, and yeah, just big into real conversations and life. So yeah, have a great day or a great evening, whatever you're doing, and see you later until my next one.